like that. Anyway, came time for church, and the pastor went to church, and this one old boy, this one farmer I'm talking about, showed up for church. But he was the only one there. So what are you going to do? So he asked the old boy, what are we going to do? You're the only one here. Well, I'm here. Let's go ahead and have church. So he opened up, and he prayed. Opened up and had his scriptures and gave the sermon. Went through the whole service. And afterwards he asked the old boy, well, how did I do? He said, you know, pastor, you did fine. You did everything like that. But there's only one thing. When I go out to feed my cattle and only one shows up, I don't feed them the whole load. Ah, well, some of you caught it, some of you didn't. Amen. Praise the Lord. But hey, we've been talking about loving the people and loving people, and we've been talking about sharing the gospel, winning souls.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you, let that love inside you get out and begin to share. And doesn't matter what's happening, I want to share with you something I'm going through, and I'm sharing with a young man right now. He happens to be one that I'm picking up every day, so he's captive audience. And the Lord just opened up a door to say some things into it. But I asked him, I said, now, when he opened up and said, if you were to die and go, which would you go to? He's a heaven or hell. He said, I don't care. Either one's okay with me.
No.
And he's a young man that is obviously special needs, but he's working in a hospital. But here's the interesting thing. And he got this weird made up about, I don't know what he calls these, like demons, but they're not demons, blah, 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 blah. And he's talking about all that. I said, well, let me tell you the true story. And so I began to talk, but I don't care. I said, even if I go to hell, at least I'm going to be conscious, and I'll, and that's the important thing. So I've been praying about that. And that book back there by Brother Hagin, I Went to Hell. I'm going to give it to him.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep working on him. He's not getting away, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, sometimes you get out there, and if they say, well, I don't care, what are you going to say? You still got to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something, the love of God will reach everybody. So, one-on-one, and praise God, yes, we are, praise God. And listen, as we do one-on-one and you think, but we're a little group. And look what our missionaries are doing out there. They're reaching many. Praise the Lord for that. We get a part of that.
Yes.
But because we're supporting them, guess what God's doing? He's being faithful with us right here where we are as we go out one-on-one. Amen? Wherever we are, whoever we're talking to, there's somebody that needs Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about that love down on the inside of me, and I just can't get away from it. Yeah, that love's there, and I need to get it out and let other people see it.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing it, and I'm sharing that. And I just want you to know, praise God, He never said it would be easy. But He said He would be faithful, and He said He would be with you. Praise the Lord. And He said you can have victory in everything you do. Praise God.
Yeah.
And our victory, praise God, should translate into other people having victory because of that love that's on the inside of us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You got one of these this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. You can't do this sitting down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What do you got in your hand? Praise the Lord. It's your Bible. Praise God. Or you got your electronic Bible. I don't care. I preach from an electronic Bible, but I'm holding up this one because it's still the same word, isn't it? God's word doesn't change, praise the Lord. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is God speaking to me.
It is God speaking to me.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can have what it says I can have.
And I am who it says I am.
And I am who it says I am.
And today,
I'm a believer.
I'm not a doubter.
I'm not a doubter.
I do believe.
I do believe.
I will receive.
I will receive.
Absolutely everything.
Absolutely everything.
That God has for me today.
That God has for me today.
For today.
I make the word of God.
Final authority.
Final authority.
In my life.
In my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before I forget it, yes, I didn't have to make my run up north because I told him I'd pick him up this morning, and I got a text back that Lee had gotten sick in the middle of the night, and they couldn't leave her. I don't know what's going on, but she got sick. So that just hold them up in prayer. Well, I'm not letting go of them. Praise God. God sent them along in another way. It was through work, and God's working in that family. And we're gonna and they're here, and they like being a part of this church. But we need them here to hear the word. Amen.
Yeah,
so you remember these people. You want to know what to pray for? Pray for them.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. And God's just. I get excited. But he gave us a commandment. And anybody know what that commandment is? Walk in love. The commandment to walk in His love. Amen. Now I'm going to do some reviewing, but I'm going to get there a little bit farther down the road this morning, I hope. And there's a whole lot more I want to bring out. This is one subject that you can't exhaust. But then again, what subject in the Bible can you exhaust? Because the Word, as I heard Fred Price say one time, the Word is pregnant. It's always birthing revelation. Every time you read the Word, you ought to read it like you're reading it for the first time and expect God to give you something new.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's what hearing the Word is all about. When you say, oh, I've heard that, then you're not hearing the Word anymore, because all you've done is heard that. It's just something that you heard, and it's not fresh and it's not live and it's not working for you. So you just keep reading the Word like you're reading it for the first time.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, I like it, praise God, God is love. Don't you love that? Praise God. God is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and this is review, in a New King James it says, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And then it goes on to say in Romans 5:5, and I'm reading out of the NLT, the New Living Translation, we are without excuse because it says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. We're without excuse. You know, every time, if you're born again, praise God, you're walking around, you are full of God's love. Hallelujah. And God's expecting you as you walk around to get that love on the outside, because that love won't do any good to you or anybody else if all it is down here on the inside. It's got to come up and out. That's praise the Lord. And when others see that love, praise God, that, you know what happens? That's when they begin to see Jesus. That's because you're the only Jesus they're going to see now. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And when they see Jesus in you, praise God, and the love of God coming out of you, praise God, it does something for you. The Bible says, and I'm using this in a little different kind, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Mm-hmm. And when you begin to share that love, praise God, it does something down on the inside of you.
Amen.
It changes you. There's no greater sense of feeling or and I don't like that word feeling, but we do live in a natural body and we do have feeling. And there's no greater feeling than that love working out of you and you see someone born again. Mm. It gives you joy.
Yes.
That's the highest form of joy I've ever found, leading someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they skipped hell and they're going to heaven.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And that's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Then in Galatians 5:6 it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith working through love. The NLT says it this way. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Faith has to have an expression, and it is the love of God. Then the Passion Translation says it this way. I like it too. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. Does anybody want their faith perfected? He just told you how. It's through love, praise God. Perfect love casts out all fear.
Amen.
Notice it said all fear. It didn't leave anything out. Perfect love will cast out all fear. And He put that love in you. Glory to God. You're without excuse, praise God. Hallelujah. We're all without. He gave us all the tool we need. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I said tool because I know it says over in Galatians, over there it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then all of His other attributes follow. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. So that's all wrapped up in love. Amen. When you're full of joy, praise God, it's an attribute of love. It's an attribute, it's a characteristic of God. It's His nature, praise God, living inside of you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God, He put something down on the inside of you. He made you a brand new creature. And one translation says, that never existed before, praise God, because He put His love down there. Now, I'm gonna have to slow down here because I'm going to get ahead of myself here a little bit. I want to bring out some things, praise God, about the love of God. But it's there. That's what I want you to see. Praise God. God loves us that much. In 1 John 3:11 through 14, in the Passion Translation, it says, "The beautiful message you've heard right from the start is that we should walk in self-sacrificing love towards one another. We should not be like Cain, who yielded to the evil one and brutally murdered his own brother, Abel. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's righteous." So don't be shocked, beloved brothers and sisters, if you experience the world's hatred. You're going to run into people out there that are just not going to like what you're doing. They're not going to like the love of God. You know, and why should we think any different about that? Because Jesus ran into those who didn't like him.
Right.
A lot of them, and the Pharisees, they were always trying to trip him up. They were out to get him. But you notice what Jesus did? It didn't affect him. He just kept on walking in love. Mm-hmm. If they didn't want to hear the message, he went someplace else. And that's what you got to learn to do. If you're talking to someone and they're just not receiving, and they're just not, just pray for them. Love your enemies and pray for them. And say, okay, God, next. Don't give up on them, because you gave them a little bit of word. And if you'll remember, the word says, his word won't return unto you void. Just pray that God will send someone across the path that'll get the word to them. It wasn't you, but you did your part. You were there and you were sharing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can't be concerned about who we win to the Lord or how many come to the Lord through us. But if we're out there giving, praise God, that'll happen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm trying to get down through this again. Glory to God. Amen. Mm-hmm. So don't be shocked if the world hates you. Yet we can be assured that we have been translated from spiritual death into spiritual life because we love the family of believers. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. John 15:12 and in New King James says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." God's commandment carries with them the enablements, his enablements. Romans 5:5 again. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience endless love of God cascading in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in a cascading. Get the picture? I mean, cascading like a waterfall. I mean, listen, that love is down there. It's churning and it's just waiting to come out.
Praise God.
The only thing that's holding it back is you. The love's there. He put it there.
Yeah.
And listen, he put it down there for a reason. And if he couldn't trust you, he wouldn't have put it there. But he made you a new creature because he could trust you. And he put his life, his very nature down there. Praise God. But it's cascading. It's wanting to bubble up and come out. Glory to God. And the more you let it, praise God, the more you're blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Remember the mustard seed? We talked about that. I'm reviewing here a little bit more. Luke 17:1-6 in the New American Standard Bible says, He says to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through who they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, and if he were thrown into the sea, than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to their Lord, "Increase our faith." Listen, God ties his love, his forgiveness, it's all, and faith, it's all tied up in, it's all interrelated. Mm-hmm. Amen. If we're walking in love, that means we're going to have to walk in forgiveness. One of my core scriptures in the Bible is Ephesians 4:32. It says that we are to love even as God loves. And to forgive even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. How much is God forgiving you of?
A lot.
How much is he forgiving you? Then that's how much you're to forgive others. How many times have you had to call on God to forgive you because of what you did? That's how you're to forgive others. Now, for some, that's a whole bunch more than others, because I'm telling you, some of us escaped a lot of things. And I praise God that God was merciful to me and to many of you. I mean, there are some out there that have really committed some heinous sins. as we would label. I escaped some of that. But it doesn't negate the fact that I still need a Savior and I've missed it. And I'm to forgive even as God has forgiven me. What did He forgive me? He forgave me so I missed hell and I get to go to heaven.
Amen.
That ought to get you excited right there. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. He said, let me back up here. He said, it would be better for them if milestones were cast around their neck and thrown into the sea. Now let me back, jump on down here. He said, seven times he said, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith.
Amen.
They needed their faith increased so that they could forgive. I submit to you, praise God, it's not only a faith increase, but faith worketh by love. We need to make sure our love gauge is full. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure we've churned that love up, and that love is stirring on and it's boiling up, and it's coming out wherever we go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Increase our faith. And then he went on to say, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Remember the mustard seed? And what we said about the mustard seed? It's a seed that cannot be cross-pollinated. And I liken that to the love of God. It cannot be contaminated. See, when you're having problems and you're having problems loving someone, then you need to examine your love walk. Because the love of God can't be contaminated. You'll have love for them. But what gets in the way, sometimes we're trying to love them not in God's love, but in our own strength. And God's love and your love won't mix. There's a place for your love. Don't get me wrong. But when we're loving others and bringing them to Jesus, praise God, it's got to be His love. And if our faith isn't working and we're believing God for something, then it's because that love's not in there working the way it should. We're trying to mix it with our love and it just will not mix. So what do? You repent. Get rid of your love. What's the Bible say? Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. Hallelujah. Mustard seed cannot be contaminated. Faith works by love. Now, one of my favorite scriptures that I've come to like, and I like the fact that we've got different translations now, and I like the fact we've got these electronic gadgets because it's so easy to look things up and to compare things, and it would take you hours to do that. I mean, it would. What used to take all week to prepare a sermon is now down to a lot less because I can just look things up. But it doesn't mean I'm not thinking about the Lord all week long and letting it meditate and mulling it over in my mind all week long.
Yeah.
And letting Him put the things in it I need to go look up. But look what it says over in Luke 17. Let me back up. Ephesians 3:17. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. The resting place of His love deep inside you will become the root and source of your life. The very source and root of your life. What are we talking about? We're talking about this agape, the God kind of love. Down on the inside of you. It gives us the capacity and ability to love one another. And then I just want to support this. Because you remember back in Genesis? Anybody ever read the book of Genesis?
Yeah.
In Genesis 1:26-27, in a New Living Translation, it says that, then God said, let us make human beings in our own image. The New King James says man. Or the King James says man, being in our image, to be like us. And then it goes on, skipping on a little bit, it says, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God He created them, male and female, He created them. God created man in His own image, praise God. We're a split image of God. What does that mean, male and female? I thought there was a difference between male and female. There is. Amen, a distinct difference. And some people are trying to even confuse all that right now. And that's stupid. We got to get that word out to them. Praise God. God created you male and He created you female. But we're in an image of God. What's that mean, praise God? It means that we're a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. We're in the image of God. Now, and that's so important that we understand that. We're in the image of God. Well, if we're in the image of God and got the very nature of God, the Bible says God is a spirit. You are a spirit. So God made you a spirit, and He made you a spirit so you could communicate with God.
Amen.
But just because you are a spirit, every human being on earth is a spirit, but not every human being is capable of communicating with God. Not until their spirit and they have been born again, been made brand new, praise God, because they had to have another ingredient down in there for you to be able to communicate. It's called love.
Right.
The love of God, praise God. And so I submit to you, praise God, way back in the beginning, God put the love of God in Adam and in Eve so that He could communicate with them, praise God, through their spirit. And God is love. They work together. Amen? Anybody with me so far?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And it says, so He, male and female, He created. In other words, we're an exact duplication in kind. And then in John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. 1 John 4:8, in the Amplified Condensed Version, it says that the one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know Him. That's one way how we know whether we love God or not. Doesn't love God, never did know Him, and doesn't love Him. I could take some sites up, but I'm trying to get through this. I never did know Him. For God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of His nature. And He put all that down on the inside of you. We have His nature. We have His love within us. It seems to me then that if Adam was created in the image of God, in His image, he must have had God's love in his spirit. He had to have, or he couldn't communicate, but lost it when sin entered. The love of God can't stand in the presence of sin. God does not tolerate sin. He separated Himself from God when He sinned. Well, I'm going to show you some things here. Look at this. Hallelujah. Genesis 3, 1 through 11. New King James. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden," right in the middle of the garden, God said, "you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat it of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now there's some truth there. You will be like God, but knowing good and evil. They didn't need to know good and evil. All they needed to know was the love of God. They didn't know evil. It didn't exist to them until they sinned. That's why we have so much problem with people getting sick and like that. You know what? Because your body was never created to live in tension, fear, and anxiety. It was designed to walk in love. There is no fear in love. There is no anxiety in love. There is no sickness in love.
Amen.
And the reason why people are suffering all of these things is because they haven't been made perfect in love yet. I'm just throwing out some things. Take it for what it's worth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he said, the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God is, the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of this fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. Something changed. They were covered, praise God, in the glory of God. His love covered them, and they didn't even know that they were not clothed. They didn't even need clothes because they had God for a covering. They had the love of God for a covering. Right. Amen? Mm-hmm. But the minute they sinned, they knew something was wrong. Yep. There was something missing. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Now, it doesn't say how many times God walked in the cool of the day, but he had to do it enough that they recognized God when he was coming. He didn't come one time and two times. They'd been doing this for a long time. The Bible just doesn't tell us. But when they heard God coming, they were afraid. And they hid themselves. Why? Because they lost their covering. The love of God was no longer in their heart, protecting them. Let's read on. Presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called Adam, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." There he was, without love. "And I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" We know the rest of that story. Of course of that. Now, 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8 in the New Living Translation says that the end of the world is coming soon. Anybody know that's true?
Yes.
It's coming. All we got to do is look around. It's coming. The end of the world is coming soon. "Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." That's what they were missing when they sinned. Love, they had no more covering. And their sin was exposed. I want you to know the love of God, it says, covers a multitude of sins. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." God's word is clear. Once you come to Jesus, once you make him Lord of your life, you become a new creation. The literal translation of the scriptures, you are a new species of being that never existed before. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when God makes you brand new and he puts that love that Adam had back down on the end and he recreates your spirit, you never existed before. That individual never existed before. And that's why when the devil comes at you and says, "Well, look at you. You call yourself a Christian and look what you did." So I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm walking in love. If I missed it, praise God, I'll just ask God to forgive me. And what will he do? He'll forgive me. We've got to understand that we have that right to do that. And instead of running from God, we run to God every time we miss it. Is God going to come to you and say, "Oh no, you can't come. You've come one too many times"? I don't think so. God's an eternal being and God's love is eternal.
That's right.
It's forever, praise God. I don't care how many times you have to come to him. You say, "But I just seem like I'm coming to him all the time. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo." Well, go to him as many times as you need to. But know this, God still loves you. You can't run from God. You can't run from his love. He wants you to repent and so you can stand in his presence. That's important.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yes, we've read that. The literal translation says, a new species of being that never existed before. And then I want to go back and read that other. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. See, that's why when you're born again, praise God, that love has taken root and it's the source of your life. It becomes the source of your life. And anything else just doesn't fit. When you miss it, praise God. Why do you know you miss it? Because that love that God put on it and He changed you, it lets you know. It lets you know. Listen, it lets you know because you know when you miss it. God doesn't have to tell you that you missed it. You already know. Because you've got a conscience. You've been born again. And you've got a conscience that's telling, hey, you missed it. So you do something about it. You confess, praise God, and you let that love begin to flow again. Glory to God. Amen. Paul prayed that we would experience the fullness of God's love. Ephesians 3:14 through 21 in the Message says this: my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parceled out all heaven and earth. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. That's what He needs. You get your feet planted, praise God, and you say, I'm staying here no matter what. And you're about to experience God's love like never before in all of its dimensions. Hallelujah. Reaching out and experiencing the breadth, test its length, plumb the depth, rise to the height, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. I'm telling you, we can live full lives in the fullness of God. Who is God? God is love. You want to live a full life? Walk in love. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. It is the source. It's the root of your life. Hallelujah. The love of God. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all the millennia. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4, and then 6 through 8 in the New King, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. If we're not walking in love, what are we? Just a bunch of noise. Trying to make ourselves heard. But have not love, I become sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. See, our faith won't even work for us if we don't have love. And have not, I'm nothing. And there's a lot of people walking around and they're bragging about how much faith they have and nothing seems to be happening for them. I'm going to guarantee you it's because they're not walking in love. And I'm telling you, sometimes you got to walk in love, you got to do it by faith. Anybody ever run across somebody that's hard to love? Anybody ever run across someone, maybe it's somebody you have to work with and they're doing things against you and you just can't, you just can't stand them because they're making your life miserable. I've been there. I've been there. I've worked with coworkers. I just wanted to get away from them, but I was stuck. And then sometimes the easy solution might be, well, if I quit here, I can go someplace else and I'll get away from them. Do you ever think that God's got you there for a reason? Because He's got something down on the inside of you that He wants to transfer to that individual. And sometimes you got to just start loving them by faith. Pray for them. Yes. Well, yeah, but you don't understand what... I don't care. I don't care what they've done. God told you what to do. Let that love come out. Walk in love. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Where are we? Okay. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned... And they used to burn Christians at the stake. But if you're not walking in love, it would be nothing. But have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Doesn't say, well, look, here I am, love. Look who I am. If you have to parade yourself around, you're not walking in love. You've got too much pride. Is not puffed up. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor. You don't know what I've been going through. Listen, I don't know what you've been going through, but I know what I've been going through. I know what the enemy throws at me all the time. And I have to make a decision. The Bible says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore you choose. So you know what I got to choose? Every time I run into one of those situations, I got to choose whether I'm going to walk in love or I'm going to walk according to what my flesh is telling me. My human desires. It's a choice. And I've got every day. And if you don't face something like that every day, then are you breathing? Because every day we face things like that. But He put within us what we need, praise God, to get through the day. He put the love of God down on the inside of us, praise God. And we let that love come out, praise God, and it works. And it'll keep on working, and it'll never let us down. But it goes on to say, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Look at that. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now, praise God, the part you've all been waiting for. Let's conclude this. Hallelujah. And I'm going to conclude it this way. I'm going to read Scripture to you. I mean, I've been reading Scripture all day, but it's meaningful. It just lets us know where we stand and what we need to be doing. And listen, if God's saying that He put the love of God down on the inside, it means we can walk in that love. And you know what? I get excited about this. I've said it often. You know, the disciples wanted to be here at this time. Because Jesus is coming very soon. We know that. Praise God. And we're about to wrap up the thing and get out of here. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Anybody ready to go?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm ready. Praise God. But you know what? I don't want to leave here too soon. I for sure won't be late. But when He calls, I'm going. Now, if you guys want to linger around, that's up to you. Nobody wants to linger. I know that. Praise the Lord. But the disciples wanted to be here. They longed to be here. But God chose us to be here. And when God chose us to be here, that means He's got an assignment for you and I to do. And that means also that God put everything within inside of us to fulfill that assignment. And the main thing He put down on the inside is His love. If you're walking in love, you can do anything. Love conquers all. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I get excited about that. But I've been studying this and looking at all this, and man, it makes you look at people a little bit different. Because I have a lot of time in driving these kids around, and sometimes I'm sitting waiting, I get to look at different people. And I'm thinking, there's one God loves. There's one God loves. There's one God loves. And they may not look so lovely. And some of them, if you get close enough to hear them, they're not sounding very lovely either. But God put that love down in it so that you could love them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 John 4:11-16. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. My dear friends, if God loves us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and His love becomes complete in us. Let me read that again.
What version?
This is the Message Bible. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and His love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in Him, and He in us. He gives us life from His life, from His very own Spirit. Can I say that again? He gives us life his life from his very own spirit. That's what he did when he put the love of God down on the inside. He gave it. He gave you his life, his very nature, his very love from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continually in an intimate relationship with God.